Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, folks. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by iTalki, which is just a perfect service if you're looking for someone to speak English with on a regular basis. It could just be a native English speaker who you could have conversations with regularly and they can help you with your English. Or it could be a qualified teacher who will give you lessons and specific work on, you know, any area of your English that you need to improve. And when you find the right teacher and you pay for some talking time, iTalki will send you a voucher for a free lesson because you listen to this podcast. To get the offer, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 642, and it's called The Lying Game Returns with Amber and Paul. And in this one, you can hear us playing this classic game on the podcast once again. This is actually the seventh Lying Game episode that we've had. All the others are episodes 308, 309, 317, 318, 343, and 436. And yes, I'm just, you know, recalling all those numbers just directly from my memory there, obviously. Check them out if you haven't already done so. I won't go into the rules of the game now, or will I? I might, actually. Anyway, suffice to say that essentially this game is about telling stories, and we all know the importance and usefulness of listening to stories for learning languages. So this game is a way to draw a story out of someone using questions. So basically someone makes a statement, and here we are explaining the rules of the game. Anyway, someone makes a statement. It's usually a thing that they did in the past, but it doesn't have to be. And the others have to ask questions to get all the details. And this is where the story starts to emerge. Until they're satisfied that the story is either true or a lie. It becomes pretty entertaining, I think, as we investigate each other's stories with varying levels of skepticism. I also use this game in class a lot as a way to practice storytelling using past tenses and question formation. And it's just a lot of fun to imagine that you're a detective like Columbo, who always has to ask one more question. So you can think of these as little stories from Amber, Paul and me. But are they true or are they lies? Listen carefully as we go through this funny conversation that might have you laughing out loud on a bus somewhere in podcast land. But try to work out if we are lying or if we're telling the truth. Focusing on that part of the game can help you pay attention more, which helps you remember the language that you're hearing in the process. Check the page for this episode on the website for all the links and videos and stuff, if there are any. But for now, let's play The Lying Game again with Amber and Paul.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers would be my choice. Yeah.
Okay, so we've decided to play another lying game.
Lying game. I think we need a jingle for the lying game, Luke.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to create a jingle for this.
With the sounds of lions roaring in the background. No.
Don't go there.
And Russians coming in. As long as the lions are Russian, then... we've got the Russian joke in another episode
Jesus
again.
Christ.
Yes.
What is the Russian joke? Please explain. Right, so we're going to do another lying game. I can't remember the last time we did this, guys. It's
really
probably several years ago. But anyway, we're going to come back to the old formula and play the lying game. But there'll be plenty of people who don't know what the lying game is, because I get new listeners and stuff quite a lot. So, Amber, can you explain the rules?
The lying game is, as far as I remember, we each take turns to tell a story, which mm-hmm. could be true or false, and the others have to ask questions and try and ascertain the truthfulness. And then we take a vote, and then all is revealed.
Yeah, and
it often starts with one phrase, right? It's like, da-da-da-da-da, this happened.
I did this, yeah. Or this happened to me, and then it's up to us to drill down and ask all of the specific questions to find out all the details until we're satisfied that we believe that it's either true or a lie, and then we cast our votes, and the truth is then revealed. And if we guess correctly, we get 1 point. And if we guess incorrectly, the storyteller gets 1 point.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. Okay. So we've got a maximum of 3 points. No, 5 points. Because you can score 2 points when you tell your story. And you can score.
How can you score 2 points?
If you get it wrong.
So if I tell my story, you get it wrong, and Amber gets it wrong, I get 2 points. Next turn, let's say you tell your story and I guess correctly, I get another point. That's four, isn't it? And then the next, just now.
No, you can get on your,
I got
on your
it.
Own story,
I'm
you
right.
get 3 points.
No.
Because,
No. On your own story, you got a maximum, there's three of us, three people
so
in the room.
A maximum of 2 points on your own story, and then a maximum of
2 points from the other two as well. So let's say I tell my story, you both get it wrong, I get 2 points. You tell your story, I guess it correctly, I get 1 point from you, I've then got 3 points.
Yeah.
Then it's Amber's turn, she tells her story, I guess that one correctly too, I've got another point, 4 points. So it's a maximum of 4 points.
Yeah. And
it's Luke's English podcast, not Luke's maths podcast.
But then if you get 4 points, then we've got none. So it's 4-0.
Yeah, I'm just saying a maximum
of 4 points.
You can get a maximum score of 4 points. As soon as you start, any time I try and go into maths on this podcast, everything just falls to pieces very quickly. Okay, but I think we understand the concept. I'm going to go first on this one,
okay.
Right? So I'll say my
Luke,
thing, and then you
it.
Guys can take
go
turns
on.
To ask me questions. So I saw a famous actor on the roof of my building.
A famous actor on the roof of your building? Mm-hmm. Well, you do live in a very posh neighbourhood where there are lots of actors. So I'm inclined initially to believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, lots of movies.
You kept on banging about seeing, what's his name? In your old neighbourhood, which is the same neighbourhood.
Jarvis Cocker.
Correct.
Yeah, I used to go on about seeing Jarvis Cocker a lot. So. I haven't seen him for a while.
He wasn't on your roof then.
You saw him.
I saw him just outside the boulangerie on
when?
My way home a while ago. I've moved to the suburbs now,
that,
so what, I'm not going to see Jarvis anymore.
A while ago? How long is that exactly? That's one of those phrases that doesn't mean anything, isn't it? Oh, a while ago. Well,
I mean, it's that phrase combined with my memory. It could be anywhere between a year and six months and...
I haven't seen him for a while.
Right, who was the famous person, Luke?
So, he's a French actor that you guys will know. So, his name's Romain Duris. Romain Duris.
Okay, so you saw
I like
Romain
the way you're
Duris?
Both like, genuinely impressed.
Cause yeah, because I like him. I mean, I like him because he's in my favourite French film, which is L'Auberge Espagnole, which I don't know what the English...
L'Auberge Espagnole. That is a good
there's,
film.
There's a
Spanish... something
the Spanish
see how good my French is
yeah
it worked out that it yeah
okay so Romain Duris
but so I like the way you're both impressed oh really like as you assume that it's true then
he's got that really kind of he's so French only could he be considered sexy and cool in France such a French face he's been in lots of movies I like actually
he's good
yeah
Potluck
really good.
Is the name of the film in English
Potluck
he's quite good at playing an asshole. He was in The Beat That My Heart Skips. I can't remember what it's called in
De
French.
De battre mon cœur s'est arrêté or something
that
like that.
That was a good movie. I like that.
I find it hard to... I think it would be hard to explain to non-French people who Romain Duris is. There isn't like one standout film that internationally he'd be known for.
Auberge Espagnole is that film.
Yeah Potluck would be the... But I mean, he would be the equivalent of... of maybe... What's his name? Donnie Darko.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mate, no.
No?
No.
What, not in terms of his appearance?
No,
I mean,
but in terms of his notoriety in film and the types of films.
Yeah.
He was sort of unknown and then he's done a few big films and he's kind of disappeared for a while, but he's done some big...
He has done some.
Basically, he's a French film star, sort of youngish.
We don't care about your story, Luke. We're talking about
Romain Duris. Yeah. Romain Duris. Okay, and so you saw him on the roof.
Were they filming? Well, I discovered that they were filming.
What do you mean you discovered? Okay, so...
Well, when I first saw him on the roof, I thought, hello, there's someone on the roof. What's going on here? And in fact, what it was.
That's the most amazing English. That sounds like football. A football manager at the end of the match. What it was. It's like what we was trying to do. Yeah, is trying to kick the ball in the back of the net. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, yeah, what it was that. So when I first saw him, I didn't recognize him.
Uh-huh.
So I was sitting upstairs.
It's quite high up your roof.
Yeah, so this is the...
Were you on your balcony looking up?
He doesn't have a balcony anymore.
I do have
a balcony now.
Yeah?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry, terrace. Or sorry, veranda.
Well, no, that's
veranda.
More,
porch.
More of a balcony.
Porch.
That's an actual balcony for
yes.
me.
Yes, that is a balcony.
Yeah, go on then.
Anyway, so it was in the previous flat, actually, the one we used to live in.
Oh, okay.
So I was sitting in the SkyPod... where I used to do my podcasts, at the desk, working, right? If you remember the SkyPod,
yeah.
Right? There was obviously the main sliding doors on the right.
Yeah.
On the in front, there was a window that looked out over the city.
Yeah.
And on the left, there was a window as well, which looked out over the rooftop of the building.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was sitting there at the desk, working. It was like sort of in the morning. Midweek, like sort of 11 o'clock in the morning or something.
Look out.
I looked over to the left. Oh, God, there's someone on the roof.
It's our jurist.
And my first thought was, oh, it's a homeless person because...
That's fair enough. He does have that shabby chic look.
He looked very shabby. And also he was dressed in a kind of very shabby looking dirty coat and kind of clothes that looked very old. And he had a dirty face as well. My first thought was, oh no, there's a homeless person who's got
when
on
was
the,
this?
Got on the roof.
Was he being gavroshed? A few years
ago, actually, probably about two or
Why
three years ago.
Why didn't you mention it to us? It was sounding quite believable, and then I was like, what? You saw Roman Juris on your roof and you've never mentioned it to us? Because you heard our reaction when we heard Roman Juris.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't had a chance to mention it.
It just didn't come up in conversation.
It didn't come up in any of the previous line games that we've done.
Mm. We've not done one, to be fair, for a really long time.
So right, you get the thing. Yeah. So I thought, oh no, there's a homeless person on the roof because in Paris there are, you know, unfortunately, lots of homeless people, and they
often get on roofs.
Well,
yeah, that makes sense.
They do find their way into places. Like I've had homeless people sleeping on the floor in front of the lift in our building before. Or like some homeless guys got into the building.
Yeah, but for them to get the lift to the top floor.
I don't know, man.
Get on to the roof.
I don't know.
Well, you can get onto all the roofs in Paris. I think this is a fire safety feature.
Is it?
Yeah, you can.
Because if you're on the sort of fourth or fifth, sixth floor in Paris, apparently you have to have access to the roof. There has to be, in all the houseman buildings, an ability to get up there so you can be rescued by the fire brigade.
Yep. So, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, who's this guy? Is he like dirt? Oh, no, there's a homeless person on the roof. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, when you come across a homeless person, usually in Paris, the instinct is just to kind of ignore them and hope that they don't bother you, because you do get hassled quite a lot for money in this city. So my first thought was, oh no, this is going to be really awkward because he's going to see me and he's going to start trying to talk to me.
No, he's not. He's on a different roof. He's not on your roof.
How do you know?
You were saying you saw him across.
No, so you got
on the roof
out
of
the window.
Building.
This looks across the roof of that building. Yeah, exactly. So imagine like...
So he was just meters from you.
Yeah, so the window looks across the top of the building,
line of buildings.
So he was climbing across the... climbing over the chimneys and walking along, and I thought, oh God, this is going to be awkward. So I kind of ignored him and hoped that he wouldn't come up to me and start talking to me.
Okay, so how did you find out it was a film?
Well, I kind of, after I'd ignored him for a bit, I looked again and I saw him waving at someone on the other building. So there's a car park.
Yes, and, I remember the car
people
park.
People often do filming on that car park because there's an amazing view of Paris. So I looked over to the car park and sure enough, there was a film crew with lights. I was like, okay, they must be filming something. But I still didn't recognize who it was.
Yeah.
I still thought, oh, they're just filming some guy on the roof. So I thought, okay, fine. Back to work. In fact, at one point he waved at me. So I looked at him and he kind of waved at me like that. And then I was like, oh God, I hope he doesn't come over.
Because I'll just be like, je suis pas.
Je suis pas.
Yeah, exactly. That's like my life, which is basically avoiding talking to people. So And so my generally, I'm just like, oh, no, just stick to my, you know, like...
So when did the penny drop?
So it wasn't until I went outside. So afterwards, after, you know, I'd been doing my work and it was lunchtime. So I went downstairs to get myself a sandwich somewhere. And I walked out in the street and yes, there was one of those large trucks, large lorries that they always have parked somewhere, which is where all the filming equipment is kept.
Yeah.
And there were film crews hanging around and stuff, you know, film type people. And then I saw walking across through the little square where I used to live, there was him again. And I recognized him because of his coat and the same, you know, he had the same dirty face and the coat and everything. And some assistant or something were walking along. And then I recognized, I was like, oh, it's him. It's that actor.
Yes.
And then I went and got a sandwich.
And did you find out what movie it was?
Nope.
And so you've not watched it?
No, I've no idea what film it is. I didn't go and speak to anyone because, as I mentioned before, my life in Paris...
You don't speak to people.
Generally, it's basically me just going from one situation to another and avoiding having to talk to anyone. So, no, I didn't go up to him. Oh, excuse me, sir. Can I have your autograph? Or what's the film? When can I see it? No. I was just like, oh, they're making a film. Go and get a sandwich.
Is that roof that he was on? That sounds quite dangerous.
No, I thought it was really dangerous. It's not flat at all. There's one bit in the middle that you can walk on, but then it slopes down on either side. So it felt pretty dangerous to me.
The fact that you've not mentioned it and that he was on the roof rather than roof work, that seems dangerous.
Yeah.
Dirty face. I mean, what was he, a chimney sweep? What is this?
I don't know. Maybe he was, you know, I don't know what it
I've
was.
I've not seen him in a film for a long time. Mm. You seen him in anything, Paul?
No.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure it was Roman Duris and not his body double?
Well, it could have been his body double on the roof.
And that's why you didn't recognise him.
That's possible. I did tell...
What other films have you seen him
people,
in?
I've only seen him in one or two. I saw him in Populaire, which is about a woman who's really good at typing.
Okay.
it was just like a really typical French film. Because it's a film about a guy who runs an office and he meets a girl who's really good at typing and he decides to enter her in typing competitions. It's set in the 60s, so it's all right.
Yeah.
And so he enters her in typing competitions and they sort of have a love affair. And it's like quite a sort of sweet little film. But of course, it being a French film, there has to be a sex scene where her breasts are shown. Because I think there's like a quota, right, in French films. It's like breasts, nipples have to be shown in every film.
Yeah.
You know, sure. It's like this, the script is great, Jean-Pierre, but can we have some more tits in it, please? You know, like the only way to get a green light on a French film project is, you know, great, okay, but will there be tits? Yes, okay, good, there you go.
Sure.
There's your budget. But
there's a lot of breasts in Paris.
Yeah. Have you ever counted how many?
No, but I mean, you know, you're just like, you're waiting and then there's a bus in front of you and there's just some advert. And you just think, oh, were boobs necessary for that toothpaste advert? I don't know.
Yeah, well, apparently they were. And a lot of things, like even sort of historical, like what's that famous image of the...
Liberty guiding the people.
Marianne.
Yeah,
Marianne?
She's there. It's like a image from the revolution, isn't it?
From the 1830.
From the 1830 revolution, and she's standing there, kind of like holding up the French flag.
Yeah,
yep.
And she's got a boob out.
Both.
It's just one.
Boob. Oh, just one boob.
Just a wardrobe malfunction.
A bit of a.
But it's
Janet
liberation,
Jackson.
Isn't it? It's liberation.
Yes, although that's not what caused the scandal.
What caused the scandal?
Well,
tangent. Anyway.
She didn't. She's got a bit of a hairy underarm.
Well, I didn't notice that.
You didn't, did you, Luke? No, you were distracted by her gleaming bosom. No.
So, where were we? Right, I'd seen Romain Duris in this film, Populaire. I'd seen him in that one. And so...
Did he wave at you again when he saw you on the ground?
No, because I don't think he
you recognize the opposite had happened. You recognise him and he no longer... You were no longer special.
I don't know if when he was on the roof and he waved at me, I don't know if he recognised me. I don't know if it was like, oh, there's Luke from Luke's English podcast.
What was he doing on the roof? Was he just gambling about? Was he doing a little dance?
So he was climbing across the sort of, there are these sort of...
How was he climbing? Was he on all fours?
He had his hands on the chimneys and he was getting his leg over where the chimneys were.
Were there safety ropes involved?
There were no safety, didn't see any safety ropes.
I don't know. I think it feels too dangerous.
Okay.
I don't think Roman Duris would have risked his precious little neck to climb up on a Parisian roof.
Yeah.
I just feel that's the kind of, I don't know, it feels genuinely dangerous.
Could have been a stunt.
And it was quite an expensive neighbourhood.
Yeah.
where you live, lots of movies go on there because it's really nice and really beautiful.
And because
but
of
why
the...
would you use that? I mean, of course, you've got a lovely roof, all the views.
The view.
But why wouldn't you just green screen that? I mean, I don't know how much things cost.
Amber. Yeah, a green screen would look freaking terrible.
Yeah, it would.
True, fair enough. But I mean, it does seem genuinely, it's scary. It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing on a roof.
It could have been a stuntman. It could have, that could explain why I didn't clock.
You're putting a little caveat in there.
No, I'm not putting a caveat in there.
You're saying, you said you saw Roman Duris.
No, you said he's a French film star on a roof. It might not been him.
Believe, as far as I'm concerned.
Or his body double in brackets, yeah. You need to put that.
As far as I'm concerned, I saw a guy on the roof and then I later was led to believe that it was him.
But where were the cameras? Because...
On the car park.
How far away is the car park?
Not far, just a street
because
away.
Because you'd want some close-up shots. Like if you were going to,
yeah, but
invest...
you can just change the lens and have a
big zoom.
It's like
just,
it's
I'm
like
just
how
asking. I don't know. I
it's
don't
like
work
how
in the
footballers.
Film
you know, it's like how football photographers and football cameras. Mm. I've got like massive close-ups, but the cameras are all in the stand,
sure.
Which is about as far away from the football field.
Okay, so they could have got some nice shots, even though they were far away.
They probably wanted like the wide shot
they
and then the close-up
need to do
shot
on the roof.
They what?
They didn't need the cameraman on the roof.
No,
as well.
The cameraman was on the safety of the car park, where lots of films are made up there because of the view.
Yeah. I mean, they're made all over the whole time.
Yeah, I know. But especially that in that area. I mean, just we saw camera crews up there all the time.
I feel like Luke would have told us about this.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like this is a good story, and I'd have heard about it.
So are you guys ready to make your decisions or do you feel that you need to drill down into this story anymore?
No,
are
ready.
You satisfied? You're ready?
Okay.
Well, Amber then.
I'm going to say no.
You say it's not true?
Not true.
Why? What? Quickly, why?
I feel like you'd have told me the story.
Okay.
And it feels too dangerous for Roman Duris. And I've not seen him in any movies.
He wouldn't do risk it, would he?
I want to believe it's true though. I'd be very pleased if it is and I'll look forward to watching that movie.
Okay. Paul?
I'm going to say it's true.
Okay. What makes you say that? What's the past form on this game? That Paul never ever wins any games in this podcast.
He wins
except
this
once that you won the Lion really? Game once. Yeah, in celebratory moment it was. But
Paul
normally
has won the Lion Game consistently, hasn't he?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to say yes because I've got an iPhone and I looked some stuff up and I think it could be plausible.
Wait a minute, you... What? You've been cheating by using the internet? You've been Googling it? So you're saying it's true, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've done some... You just did some research. And there should be a rule against this.
There were no rules against it.
Using the internet to verify...
I was on my phone the whole time. You didn't say anything. Put it down.
I did see you on your phone and I thought, is he researching this?
I thought you were like, you know, using TikTok or...
TikTok or
Snapchat or whatever the kids are doing these days. So
so tell us, Luke.
So it is a true story.
Yes.
Completely true.
If you'd have said it was a lie, I'd have been like, all right, there's something fucked up is going on here.
So what's the movie? You did the research.
The movie is called Hold Your Breath in English.
Yeah, someone did tell me about this.
Dans la brume is what it's called in French. And
brume.
I will show you...
What's la brume?
La brume is fog.
Mist.
Fog, smog, mist.
Yeah, so here's mist, so fog, here's fog. The pitch of the film. The pitch of the film is that Paris has got some sort of gas going through it.
Which is true.
Or is it a sort of dystopian movie?
Yeah, even in the trailer, I've got the scene that you saw.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
No,
already.
Let's have a look.
So there's Paul's showing us the trailer on
do
his phone.
See?
We don't need the sound, Paul, because it's all going to be en français. But
no one cares.
Yeah. Go on then. We'll describe what we can see.
Yeah.
So Roman Duris is walking down the street with a walkie-talkie. Something. There's
the fog
lots.
Is coming.
Fog is coming down the street. He's running away.
Is that your neighbourhood? No.
No, but wait for it.
And then there's lots of shots of him escaping into a building. He's hammering on my front door.
Your actual front door.
And he's let me into the apartment. And there's like a lot of stress and people talking into walkie-talkies. And it's basically, what are we going to do? Get out
onto
the roof.
There's his coat, his homeless coat.
Well, you know, we could have seen the SkyPod in that shot. There he is on the roof. There he is on the roof, looking at the Sacré-Cœur.
There you go.
So there you are, folks.
So you saw Roman Duris up on that roof. Well, I wanted to believe it. And there it is. It does look like a rubbish movie.
It does.
I don't think I'm going to be watching it, even though I do enjoy a little concept. Bit of Our Juris.
So, let's see. The point...
It was almost too much of a... Initially, I was like, all right. Because Roman Juris is a very specific actor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true.
And also, it was a pretty...
What?
Like, you'd have to... It would be difficult to make that up.
It's pretty.
Like you'd have to have a really mental, like, creative thing to be like, okay, I'm going to make up a story.
Boring.
Yeah, but I'm going to make up a story about a guy that's on the roof. Who was he? He was an actor. Which actor? A very specific French actor. And what were they doing?
Well, wait a minute. What's an unspecific French actor?
Well, if it would have been like Gérard Depardieu,
who would never get up on a roof.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what I mean, like,
well
he's,
known.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's Roman Juris is well known, but it's a very specific choice that you made for that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see Gérard Depardieu on a rooftop. That would be something something to behold, wouldn't it?
He wouldn't last on it for long. He'd just go straight through it.
He'd urinate off it.
Well, hats off to Our Juris for getting up on the roof.
Yeah, if it was him,
it might have been a stuntman.
Anyway, so there you go. So I've got 1 point. Paul has got 1 point. Amber
has got zero points so far.
Nul point.
So, Amber, let's go with you then next.
Okay, then... It was going to be for 2020, but things changed. But I am going to enter the 2021 marathon. Paris Marathon.
You're going to enter the 2021 Paris Marathon.
Marathon, yes.
Okay. Okay. So let's think about this.
Laugh it up.
I mean, I'm just curious. My laughter. What was her reaction to my laughter there? She was like, in your face with your laughter.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Mm. April 2021, is that when it is?
When's the date? Isn't it April or May? I don't know the exact date.
So you don't
know
the exact date?
I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever run...
Do you smell that?
What bullshit.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay.
Now, I remember speaking to you.
I remember, yeah.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
About how you were doing... an app to help you start, I think they call it jogging, right? Couch to 20K. That you were using that app to help you. Couch to 5K, sorry.
Yep.
And so you were talking about jogging or running, sorry, as it's supposed to be called these days. It's not the 70s anymore.
Exactly.
You know, you were talking about how you don't really run very much, but you were starting to try.
Yes.
Do you still run? He said to the pregnant woman.
Well, I barely walk at the moment, and this is what slowed me down. But it came from that app.
The decision to run the marathon. You were inspired by using that app, and you thought, "I can do this."
I got into it. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you're not the sort of person. You're not that kind of marathon type person, I think.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that, you know.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know you as like a kind of running around.
A sporty person.
Yeah, you're not a sporty person. I don't mean to say you're like, you know, you're not in good shape or anything.
I'm not a sporty person. But
why are you doing it? Okay. What's the principal motivation?
There's different things. So I started doing the running in the app last November.
Okay. And where were you running?
Parc Monceau.
That's a long way from your house.
Yeah, but it's online too.
Where else is she going? She takes the metro to the park.
I took the metro to the park.
You do your warm-up on the metro by jumping over the
barrier. Runs around the park and then takes the metro back.
Okay.
Okay, because you haven't done that since. You were doing that in November, were you?
This November just gone?
Before.
The previous November. 2018.
Yeah. Is that when you started doing the running?
Yeah.
Okay, why would you start in November as opposed to like April or May when the weather's nice?
Well, unlike most people, I'm not a fan of the summer. I don't like the sun.
Okay.
When you go running in winter, it's actually quite nice. You pop on a jumper and, you know, you've got all your pockets for your phone and your bits and your bobs and your keys and your stuff. I don't mind running in the cold. And it was surprisingly motivating.
And so
I'd go 3 times a week.
Yeah. And when did you decide, right, I'm going to run... How many kilometres is a marathon?
42.
42, is it?
Is it? I don't actually know.
So normally you would run how many kilometres?
I just made that up. That might be complete bollocks.
Hold on.
How long is a marathon in kilometres?
Isn't it 26?
One marathon is 42.2 kilometres.
All right, I was off by 200 metres. That's all right.
Very good, yeah.
So, how long, how far, how many kilometres did you used to run when you were running in Parc Monceau?
Well, I do the 5K.
You used to do 5K?
I do the 5K.
Three times a week.
Right.
So you thought to yourself, I want to do this 8 more times in a row, please.
No.
Is that what you thought?
No. But then I started really liking it. I started liking the 5K, and then I started really enjoying going to park. And then I joined this group, the Adidas Runners. Do you know about them? They've got them all around Paris, different neighbourhoods. There's one in Pigalle, because I met them in the park once.
The Adidas Runners?
Yeah, the Adidas Pigalle Runners.
Pigalle is a place in Paris, listeners.
Yeah, and that was the closest one to me. And they're kind of like a group, and they have like music, and they kind of do their thing. And so I wanted to like go running with them. And then I did this like run with a friend of mine in Champagne, which, to be fair, does involve drinking champagne.
Wait a minute, listeners. Champagne is a place. It's not just a drink. So when she went running in Champagne, it wasn't like literally running in Champagne. She went to a place called Champagne where you did a run.
Yeah, exactly. It was 18 kilometres.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. How was it?
And it was fine. And it was really good. And it was good because there was a big group of us and like people dress up and some people take it really very far with all the dress ups, because people would come in teams. So it was like a Smurf team and a troll team and like a Where's Wally team. So everyone was like, there was a really nice atmosphere. And at each like 5K, you can have a glass or more of champagne.
That's amazing.
And then so kind of people are pissed.
That's unbelievable. That's so much fun.
But
do they give you the champagne at the edge of the road, like the marathon, when they give you the water and you keep running while you drink,
stand,
or you stop?
No, you can stop. They've got snacks.
You don't have to, you're not running and trying to get a glass of champagne while you're running.
So it's not really 18 kilometres. It's sort of like five, well, then a bit of a pause, bit of champagne, carry on.
People can run it as they want. So some people don't drink the champagne.
I swear, only in France, so you get a marathon race. Like, oh, you have to stop every 5 kilometres for a glass of freaking champagne. Like, only in France. Like, when I came to Paris first, like, the first party I ever went to, it was just like, in the bathroom, the bath was full of bottles of champagne. Like, what is this place? What is the decadence of this place? And then, like, you know, you just go round to some friend's house, and it's like, what do you want to drink? How about champagne? Everyone's just drinking champagne all the time. It's like...
The most French thing I ever saw was the other day, and it was... there were three policemen on bikes. So first of all, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Second of all, the middle policeman had a baguette inside his bulletproof vest, but it was cut in half. So he went to the bakery and he said in his fucking...
baguette.
With his guns and his bulletproof jacket, he's like, can I get a baguette, please? And the woman's like, yeah. And he was like, can you cut it in half so that it can fit inside... And it was wedged inside of his bulletproof.
You wouldn't want sweaty bulletproof.
Yeah, you can imagine terrorists like shooting me, and I can imagine you know, like in films where they go, "What saved you?" And they pull out a book from the inside pocket.
Bible.
He would have been like, "The baguette saved me."
But you know, you wouldn't want your baguette to get shot, though, would you? I can understand why.
I don't know. A baguette would save you, to be honest.
No, it wouldn't. And listen, if it's two days old, three days old, only in France.
Yeah. Do you know that the police on bikes? So I was crossing the road with my son, and he saw these bicycle police, and he was just like, oh, not police. And one of them, like, put, they were sort of talking to us, and he put his helmet on Hugo, and they've got little walkie-talkie inside. Like,
no
he
way.
Was like, I could hear voices, and they've got their little radio system inside. It's not
funny.
Just a helmet, they've got a whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean they seem pretty like useless policemen on bikes, but I imagine their bikes are like the Batmobile, where they hit a button and something like some fucking turbo comes out. They can't just be policemen on bikes. Like, it's just it's like policemen on rollerblades.
They've
that
got
was the
them.
First thing. Yeah, I know they've got them. That's like the police use every mode of transport here. We'll see them soon on those scooters.
Anyway, back to Amber's story about running a marathon.
Right,
so, okay, right. So you were doing Couch to 20K, the app which helps you to
5K. It was
sorry, 5K. I don't know why I keep thinking 20K. So and
I wasn't that ambitious.
How far did you get with you started doing 5K eventually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you got to that point. And then you were like, I want to join this Adidas crew.
Yeah.
And you did.
I just joined their Facebook page.
Okay. All right.
Because then we kind of, I got pregnant and I moved. But like,
but wait,
I'm still friends with them.
But you went to Champagne. And
I did this big run, and it was really fun, the sort of atmosphere, and obviously we were drinking champagne. And then I was listening to this podcast, The Guilty Feminist. I don't know if you know.
You've tried to make me listen to it before, and I sort of just didn't.
He's just got the word feminist.
Not the word feminist. It's just like the same with almost every podcast that Amber tries to get me to listen to. Almost all of them. And I'm sure they're excellent. I'm convinced they are.
You don't have time?
Yeah. Just like
because you're too busy making podcasts. Yeah. So why would you listen to them?
And when I'm not making podcasts, I'm listening to like all these other ones. And then there's just like all these other podcasts that don't get a look in. Because
do you get podcast stress? Sometimes I've got so many podcasts in my feed, I just have to delete them all.
I don't listen to any podcasts.
It's complicated.
That's because you're both producing things. I'm just listening to podcasts growing life. Anyway, all this to say, so she was talking about this this woman who started this charity called With Love, or I can't remember what it's called. Sorry,
right.
My story is full of holes.
Can't remember what it's called, Paul.
But it's about
convenience, isn't it?
About supporting refugees, and so I donated to it last year and the year before, and then I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was saying, you know, it'd be really nice to raise some money for this, because basically it's kind of like a shop online. You can buy like a welcome pack, or you can buy a sleeping bag, or you can kind of give them, you know, in theory, things that they need, and then it's taken to the Calais refugees.
Yeah.
Just because it sort of feels really horrible. Anyway, and then I was saying, like, maybe we should do something to try and, like, raise some money, because she did the 18K run with me as well. And then, so I was saying, you know, maybe we should try and challenge ourselves, because the running is kind of really more fun than I thought, and try and do a marathon, and then, like, get some sponsorship. And then the sort of combination of social pressure and everything would make us
do it,
go through with it. And even if you walk it, like, it doesn't, like, there's no, because when we were not on the 18K run, there were still people who were doing it seriously. Like, they finished really quickly. And we were, you know, pissed and, like, really needed a pee and, like, well, it took 8 hours.
So, just going back to the champagne during the marathon thing, which I can't get my head round.
It's like, really good.
After
you should do
you've had three glasses, I mean, surely running is just out of the question, isn't it, at that point?
Yes.
After three glasses of champagne?
Yes.
Surely the champagne would be very detrimental to the whole running around the park thing,
well,
right?
It would be, but you see, I was having more of a controlled experience, because although I was with the champagne gang and having a good time, I was actually pregnant, and so I didn't drink any of the champagne.
But
I did the running.
I
still did the dress up, and they would during the drink. There was still that nice atmosphere.
You were running while pregnant?
But it was right at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
It was in May.
What time of the day was the run?
It's the afternoon.
Okay.
It was a rainy May.
There's the morning sickness there. Check out Sherlock Holmes over here. Okay, Paul, what do you think? What do you think, Paul?
I'm in two minds about this. One, because... Well, I'm not going to give my theories, because then you might change your mind.
No, I shall I go first?
Yeah, if you've already got your...
I can go first if you like, if you don't want to influence my decision. It's tricky. It's tricky, but Amber's of... she's clever, this person. She's very clever. So I think it's true.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, because I look so fat at the moment.
Well, you don't look fat.
Running
you don't.
Anywhere.
You look pregnant.
Okay,
you don't
thanks.
Look fat. I don't know. I just think it's true. I know that you were doing the app. I know you were running. So it doesn't take a long...
Yeah, that's not, good. It's good that you knew that, because initially I'd have called bullshit.
Mm-hmm. What, that she was running at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I knew that she was doing the running. So it's not too much of a stretch to see how that could turn into, hey, let's do the marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because especially when it's like into the future, when you're doing, we'll do it in 18 months.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, yeah, let's do a marathon.
So
when it comes to actually doing it, you'll regret it. It'll be awful and horrible.
When did you decide to do this?
Well, actually, it was something that we'd kind of thought about, like I sort of...
Stop, before you answer that question, sorry, let's go back in time. The running app, when did you start doing the running?
God, it's got to be... it's got to be about 2 years ago now. No? A year and a half?
Yeah, because it was November...
It's November. That's when you started running, was November. And then so by May, in May you were doing the champagne run.
Yeah.
And then that's... And is that when you decided with your friend that you would do the marathon?
We were thinking about it, and then... I became pregnant. So I was like, well, we can't do it this, because I'm going to, because obviously I've stopped, I've stopped running for a while, because then I started getting really sick with morning sickness and then you get really fat. And some people do run through the pregnancy, not me.
I'm also thinking that this might be kind of March, also forward thinking of like, I've got to kind of get back to fitness after having had a second child.
Yeah.
And so, you know, training to do a marathon, the fact it's for charity is going to be a motivational factor, because you wouldn't, that is also a very much a you kind of thing, because you wouldn't just do it. You, the fact you're doing it for a good cause, I think, is going to motivate you a lot. So I'm saying it's true for that, for those reasons. Paul?
Everything I agree with, but there's something about me that just wants to say it's bullshit. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, because this is the thing. That's why I said she's clever at the beginning.
Because everything makes sense and all the stories are true. But there's just something not right in the story. Or there isn't. But it feels like if you're coming up with a story for the lying game, we almost always come up with a lie. Or if we don't, it's a very...
tenuous.
There's something... Because I signed up for the Paris Marathon, never did it.
Did you?
So I can understand how it could be true. And it was the same sort of thing. Like my mate... Chris, gingerhead guy who you've both met, he was like, yeah, I'm going to do the marathon next year.
I like the way he's like gingerhead guy. Like, oh yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah,
like that's like his outstanding features. Exactly. He's so ginger.
Well, otherwise, I said, Dimitri the Greek. So he was like, I'll do the marathon. I'm coming to Paris to do the marathon next year. Do you want to join? I was like, yeah, all right. So this was in like October or something. Yeah. And so I signed up for it. I paid the whatever it was, €30, maybe 50, maybe 80. I can't remember.
Mm.
And I just didn't do it.
Okay,
because I didn't train enough.
Mm.
So
did you do? Because you had to get a doctor's note and everything. I mean, did you go?
I think that's the hurdle I fell at. I couldn't be asked.
You couldn't be asked. Yeah,
administrative stuff.
Didn't rock up. You didn't do any. You just signed up.
I think so. Yeah, and it was also when I was working for Apple and I was traveling around. So yeah, the fact that you're thinking about signing up, I it feels right. The champagne run is too specific for that to be bullshit. The Parc Monceau, like you would have had to create this whole situation. And since you texted us this morning, Luke, to do this, that story, you wouldn't have, I don't think you could have made that unless you had nothing else to do this morning, which maybe you didn't, to come up with all of those details about
she went
running.
For a scan this morning. They scanned, you know, like a
ultrasound. The ultrasound.
Yeah.
Nice. The 5 month up. No, what am I talking about?
It was just a monitoring thing.
All right. Okay. So all right. Yeah, I want to say it's true, but I'm just going to say opposite so that she doesn't get 2 points if you're wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's a tactical.
You're doing this again.
Yeah, but that's
Paul.
How you win stuff.
Hedging your bets, being tactical.
I'm going to say it's wrong. Even though if I lose the point, it means that... well, that means she gets a point. So then,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, it's like if you go the other way, if you choose a different thing to me, she's going to get a point. Either if you're right or I'm right, she will get a point or whatever. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Just
but she could also get
say what you think.
I'm going to say false.
Lie.
Lie.
Okay. So I say true. He says lie. It is.
It's a lie.
Yes, you got me completely.
I know. I never really made it to 5K. It was just so far. 4.5. I like the idea of raising money for charity, doing a run, but really the marathon, I might die. I would probably die. I was pregnant when I went to Champagne. I didn't realise it. I was wasted and we actually...
Wait, you drank the champagne?
We hitched a lift back from some random farmer because like we just, by the end, I was like, I can't, I'm going to die.
Because you didn't realise you were
pregnant. Well, yeah, because May would have been like the first month.
It was the first week.
You would have maybe not even known that you were pregnant, right?
Exactly.
So that's why...
But I have considered raising money for that charity through running, but just not the marathon. I just, Luke, I just, 42 kilometres, I can barely make five.
So much fate.
Actually, you know where, I think it might have come from the fact that you didn't know how long a marathon was. Like when you were like, how long's a marathon? You were like,
26 miles?
Yeah, it is 26.
Yeah.
But 26 and 42...
Don't get into the maths again, please.
Don't go maths. We couldn't work out
four.
It is 26. That's why when I was like 42, I'm like, no, because that's exactly double. And it's not 2 kilometres to 1 mile.
It's 42 point something.
42.2.
Yeah.
No, because it's not exactly double. It's 2.2 kilometres, I think,
yeah,
per
I think
mile
that's
or something
is, yeah.
like that.
No, it's 1.6. 1.6.
Is it 1.6? Okay.
Oh, no, that's 1.6.
All right.
Doesn't matter.
Numbers. But, I mean, you even knew, for example, that if you wanted to pull out of the marathon, you have to have a doctor's note and stuff. You know that.
I know.
So I thought... Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Well, because there is also other runs in Paris, which I did think about doing with my friend.
Like the 10K.
Which is the breakfast run. I think it goes from the Louvre to Trocadero. And, like, you can have breakfast. And I think you don't need a doctor's note. It's so short.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I like the idea of running.
I find it hilarious that you need a doctor's note. It's like, why can't you just sign up at your own peril? And if you die, then it's your problem.
Because this is France. Everything needs to be put on paper. Otherwise, it didn't happen.
Yeah, the paper is... Because we have disclaimers. It's like, if I run and I die, you don't... Yeah. No one in my family fault. Can go after
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We don't need a doctor's note. Anyway.
It's just France. Everything has to be on paper. Because they respect paper in this country.
They do.
Okay, so the points at this stage are, Paul's got two. You've got one, Amber, and I've got one.
Yeah.
Okay, so Paul is in
again.
The lead.
I think this is the same situation.
What
as
happens
last...
here is that we need to both get this right to stop him from winning.
Yeah,
right,
basically.
Because then it'll be a draw.
Yeah, okay. I think you... Probably, I don't know. I can't work out the maths.
Yeah,
let's just play the game.
Here's the maths. If I tell a lie,
yes,
and you both call me out on it,
yeah,
then it's a draw.
We all get two.
We all get two. However, if one of you get it wrong,
you win.
I win. So basically, we're going to team up. Tactically, what you need to do is you need to both. It's all or nothing.
Yeah,
we've both.
It's all or nothing.
Either I get four points out of this, and you end up with one, or we all end up with two.
So we've got to agree, Amber, here chance of
we can't
not
hedge our
which
bets.
Makes it
yeah.
more interesting because then you have to. Yeah.
We've got to try
you have to
convince yeah. each other as
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
Okay, so Paul, can you
play for?
Could you tell us your thing, please?
God.
Now, listeners, I asked them to prepare for this like this morning, just a few hours ago. So not a lot of thought's gone into.
I've literally been thinking about mine since we've started the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think how to phrase the initial sentence because it's a lot. At 2 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
on a Sunday morning.
Okay. In the middle of the night.
A Scottish man.
Scottish man.
Cured my baby's crying.
A Scottish man cured your baby's crying. So your baby was crying, and it was 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning,
yeah,
in the middle of the night,
yeah,
and a Scottish man stopped your daughter from crying.
Was this correct. A YouTube video that you were watching at 2 in the morning with a Scottish doctor?
No.
So this is a real Scottish man.
This is a real Scottish man.
And this happened in France because you haven't gone anywhere with your daughter yet, have you? You haven't left the country, have you? You haven't.
No.
Yeah. We talked about this.
He can't remember.
Yeah.
He's too tired.
We've talked about this.
We haven't left. I have left on my own. That's why I was thinking... Right.
Did you travel with her?
Yeah. Where did you meet this Scottish man? Was he down the street?
At a hospital.
At a hospital?
Yeah.
Okay.
A doctor?
No.
So you.
But I mean, he had the same efficiency as a doctor.
No, but was he just in the hospital to sort of cure something himself? Or was he working at the hospital?
No, he was a patient. Well, his daughter was a patient.
Okay. So you went to a... Why did you bring your daughter to a hospital then?
Because she was crying.
Yeah, she was crying so much, they were like, right.
Yeah, essentially what happened was Saturday, I wasn't performing that weekend. I don't know why.
Is it because you needed to make up this story? It's like, sorry everyone, So British Opresque is not happening this weekend because I have to think of a story for Luke's game.
I wasn't performing that Saturday.
Interesting that you weren't performing that particular Saturday.
Shut up. It doesn't matter. I wasn't performing that Saturday. And so
it was
what
in summer, was it?
Oh, I don't remember when it was.
Before your show started. No.
Why was this
Yeah,
Scottish
I think
man?
It was that. I think it must have been in September. I'll be honest.
I think because if she was crying that much and you brought it to hospital, it was probably earlier on. So like fairly early in the
baby game.
Yeah.
Because
she cried a lot, especially at the beginning.
She cried a lot, especially at the beginning. This one was, she was crying the whole day on Saturday. I mean, not the whole day, but from about 6 p.m. onwards, she was crying and it was really difficult to figure out what was wrong with her. Mm-hmm. I was trying all the dad ninja moves where you put them like on your stomach.
You put them on your stomach?
No, but you put them on their stomach on your arm and you mm-hmm. hold their head, and like that normally is like the off switch. That wasn't working. We were trying all sorts of stuff. It wasn't working.
Did you try turning her off and turning her on again?
Yeah, that didn't work.
Taking the batteries out and blowing
on
them?
We didn't try that one. Okay. Although my one of the things that I do when she starts whinging is I go, hurricane! And I blow in her face and she goes... It's amazing, and she stops crying. Okay. So anyway, she was crying the whole day, and I think it was around midnight, something like that, we made the executive decision to go to the hospital because we had no other choice. We didn't know. Yeah. And it was kind of the first night where it was that bad.
Okay.
Which hospital?
It was the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, which one?
All the children. That's where all the children are doctors and nurses. It's like, welcome to the Children's Hospital. It's like, oh, God.
In Paris, in the south of Paris.
Well, which one? Because there's
I don't know what it was called. It's just that maybe, yeah. It's one that was near Vauve. Like the nearest... it was the nearest kind of hospital. There were two hospitals nearby.
Port Royal? Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, all right. So you were at the Children's Hospital.
So we went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. We drove there.
And they said, sorry, we can't do anything for your crying child, but we do have a Scottish we do have a Scottish man here who might be able to help. All right, what's the problem?
Yeah, right, you bastard. No, what happened was...
He shouted at her, stop crying!
You!
That's basically what happened. apart from the doctors saying no, what happened was we arrived at the hospital and we chose the Children's Hospital because we thought they'll be specialised and they'll know more what's happening with her than if we go to like a normal hospital that's not specialised, doesn't have a special paediatric.
If you go to a normal hospital, they won't see you.
What, you'd be invisible?
Yes.
In a normal hospital?
In a normal hospital.
Really?
No, because I took Hugo to a hospital when he like fell over and he needed stitches. Yeah. And they said, oh, we can't do that here. You have to go to a children's hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so maybe that's why it was packed.
Well, why can't they put stitches in a child's...
They said that it has to be... It's France. They said it had to be a paediatric hospital. Okay. It had to be a children's hospital. I couldn't just... Because it was... The hospital was next to our house. It was Larry Boisier.
Yeah.
So I just went next door and they were like... And I was like, it's just stitches. It's not like an internal...
Yeah, right.
Children's bones and internal... It was just stitches. They were like, no. And I had to go to hospital.
Maybe we made the right decision. It felt like we did. Because when we arrived, it was packed.
Yeah.
There were so many kids like sick, like properly sick. Like like some of them with their arms like in car... Oh. Like it was just like, oh, Jesus.
And you were thinking, they're going to ask us, so what's the problem? It's like,
she's crying.
She's
just
exactly,
crying.
Yeah.
She's like, is this your first baby? Go home.
Yeah. We felt bad walking in. Like, she was crying. She was whinging. We walk in and we saw the state of the waiting room. We're like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe this isn't this bad then. And so anyway, we go to the thing. We check him in. They're asking us what's wrong. We're like, she's crying. Blah, 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 whatever.
Okay.
Like, wait here. Okay. So we waited I think it was 3 or 4 hours before we saw a nurse, and then an hour afterwards to see the doctor. But in the meantime, while we were in the waiting room, mm-hmm. Scottish guy comes in.
How did you know he was Scottish?
Was it the kilt?
It was the ginger hair. Because he was drinking Iron Brew, right?
Right. Made in Scotland from Gerders.
Gerders.
Iron Brew, ladies and gentlemen, is a soft drink, a carbonated soft drink that is popular in Scotland. And it's called Iron Brew. And the tagline was Made in Scotland from Gerders. Gerders are like big pieces of metal. It's not actually made from...
Although you can get alcoholic Iron Brew.
Can you?
I'm sure you can.
Wicked. WKD is alcoholic is Iron Brew.
Anyway.
Oh, so it is, yeah.
It's not really made from girders. It's not really made from iron metal things. It's
Iron Brew. And it's also spelled IRN.
IRNBRU. Iron Brew. Anyway, so okay, he wasn't wearing a kilt or drinking Iron Brew. So how did you know he was Scottish?
So he walks in.
There's an Irishman and an Englishman.
Yeah, as well, next to him. Yeah.
Scottishman, Englishman, Frenchman walk into a hospital.
English, Irishman and Scotsman. Yeah, go to a French hospital.
It's a good joke. I might have to...
Englishman, Irishman and Scotsman go to a French hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he walks in initially we didn't know he was Scottish. I didn't know he was Scottish when he walked in. I couldn't tell by his appearance. Yeah. And right he was way. With his he was with his daughter.
How old was she?
I don't know, but she was about, I'd say 16, 17.
How did you know she was his daughter?
I didn't initially, but by the, I mean, he was middle-aged and she was underaged. And so I wasn't in my mind going, ah, oh, they're probably fucking. I just assumed, yeah. I don't know if it was his daughter or not, but it, I mean, that's the conclusion I came to.
Of course, uh-huh. Of course. I was just being silly.
And she was wearing, she had no shoes on to start with, so she was barefoot.
Fair enough.
Which was strange. Mm-hmm. And they came in. Well, she was
that the problem? Excuse me, my daughter's lost her shoes.
She was actually on a stretcher.
Sorry, Scottish people.
Yeah, she was on a stretcher with some ambulance people. And they came in. He checked. He didn't really speak French, right? And so...
What was it like, him trying to speak French? Scottish.
He wasn't. I can't even... this bit's a bit blurry. No, he went to the... he basically checked in. I can't remember if he was speaking French. I think he was just speaking English, but we were too far away that I couldn't really understand what he was saying. He checked in to the people. He was talking to the accueil, to the receptionist, checking in. She was still in the stretcher, but then she got off the stretcher and then the ambulance people left with the stretcher. Okay. And she was stood up barefoot and she was wearing like a white dress, like with the skirt ended here, right? Like it was a mini skirt, like a proper mini. And at some stage, I don't know why, he was drunk, first of all.
Okay, that's how you knew he was Scottish.
Yeah, because also, cause then he started kicking off. He started going mental because he couldn't get the message he wanted through to the people that were behind the desk. They didn't understand what he was saying because he's got a thick Scottish accent. But I still couldn't hear what was going on. I could hear the volume going off while this was happening.
What did it sound like?
It was just, I mean, it's difficult. He was just like, I don't know if I...
Now look here.
That was basically...
I can't do it. I can't.
And it was only until... Like, then he got on the phone and he was talking to, I don't know, to somebody else, English speaking, on the phone. And that's when he started going properly mental, when he was like, I don't know what the fuck we're doing. I don't know where we are. We're at some children's hospital in Paris, fucking... But he goes mental.
Yeah.
And when he starts shouting... His daughter's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
She's all embarrassed.
And this is the point where Louise stopped crying.
Yeah.
And she was just like perturbed. She was like, what?
She's like, hey, what's going on over here?
Yeah. So she stopped crying and most of the kids stopped crying. Like, it was just like, you know, the awkward, you know, when you hear somebody shouting in a public place, everyone sort of stops. Like,
yeah.
That's what happened. And this lasted for, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute. And then he calmed down. The security guard came over. Mm-hmm. And calmed him down, and then chatted again to the desk people, the receptionist. Mm-hmm. And then he kicked off another time about 5 minutes later, swearing, fucking. And then that was that. We don't really know what had happened.
No visible injuries on the daughter?
No, not really, which was... interesting because there was no like she came in on a stretcher so I don't know whether she drank I don't know what it was and I couldn't or his accent was so strong I could tell he was Scottish but I couldn't figure out what problem was because
maybe they'd just never seen anyone so
drunk
or maybe wearing such an inappropriate skirt
I think there were people of his party in Paris as well.
What was going on? Was there some Scottish event?
It's probably like they were trying to get into a club, right, in Paris. They're trying, like, she's trying to get into a club. She's wearing this tiny miniskirt, and every club is going, no, 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 no. And then eventually they're like, look, take your daughter to a hospital. She's sick. Look at the short, look at the length of her skirt. Take her to a hospital, not a nightclub. That's funny.
We can't understand what you're saying. Quick, they must be asking for help.
They both need medical assistance.
Yeah.
Look at the length of her skirt and the sound of his voice. Straight to hospital for the both of you.
So you never found out what was wrong with them? And you didn't actually have any direct chats with them?
No, I thought about intervening and going in and being like, hey, I speak French and English, blah, 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 whatever.
Guys, don't worry, guys. I speak Scottish.
Yeah. But I just didn't. I thought it was funnier just to sit back and laugh with Addy while Louise was not crying.
So did she then continue not to cry?
She stopped crying for a while, and then she started again, and then eventually we went to the doctor. We saw the nurse, and then an hour later we saw the doctor, and it turned out to be gastric reflux, and we needed to have some Gaviscon.
Okay, gastric and reflux is like acids from the stomach making their way up the digestive tract, which can cause
like burns your esophagus,
heartburn.
Yeah,
so very uncomfortable, and I'd be crying as well.
So that was it, 5 a.m. so just to find out we could have just got Gaviscon.
So Amber, we need to team up on this one, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Where do you stand on this?
I'm feeling it. I mean, new parents taking their baby to the hospital. I mean, that's
textbook.
Textbook.
Did you both have to do that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because I am a much worse parent. I'm like, 42-degree fever. It'll be all right. Let it burn it through. My mother brought me up telling me, you know, doctors, Amber, very important people. You're not to be disturbing them with your ailments.
Really?
That's hilarious.
I went to the hospital in London, and I saw a doctor after much waiting. He was an African doctor, which is only funny because there is a reason. And he didn't examine me. He said to me, "You look fine. You can go home. Just go home." After 4 hours of waiting, he was just like, you look absolute. You can stand. Go home." I was like,
"Look at these people.
Yes.
Look at these people."
And I thought, "Yes, you've given me some perspective. Thank you. I feel foolish. I'm going to go home." And I did. Yeah. And I thought, well, I am fine. Look, I'm standing. I can go home. Mm-hmm. So that's the NHS. But yeah, new parents, hospital, tick, 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 tick. Gaviscon, yes. Reflux, yes. The Scottish man didn't cure her. He just made quite a lot of white noise, which all children like. And Scottish white noise.
It's very white noise.
You should...
Ginger noise.
Roll. You should make an app. Just a Scottish man just shouting, and it would like calm babies.
Can I just say that we love Scottish people.
I love Scotland. Yes. And the Scottish accent, the best.
There are many Scottish accents. There are many Scottish accents.
Many.
We'll put that out there.
Yeah. The Glaswegian one. Kevin Bridges. It's just his voice. He cracks.
So anyway. Good. Yeah. No, but I mean, at the moment, I'm just about to buy a white noise machine for the baby. Because, you know, I've learned about the 5 S's. You know, swaddling and soothing.
Oh, have you read that
shushing.
Book as well?
Yeah, I'm reading that book.
White noise.
White noise is this.
But I thought that book was for like...
It's white noise.
For like... beginning babies. Oh, you're buying it for the new one?
Yeah, that baby that I'm about to have.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Hughes.
I don't know if you've noticed.
She's pregnant.
Yeah, but what I mean is, if you've already been through it once, why are you reading?
Because I failed the first time round.
Hugo was
right.
A failed project.
He still wakes up every single night multiple times. Like,
he's
like
Luke's business English class.
Yeah, that's right. Luke's business English online course, which, exactly. Just
that was going well.
No, that's the premium service. It's going fantastically well. Thank you.
Right,
but the business English course that I wrote for several years.
Several decades.
No, it hasn't come to fruition, but there's a lot of, you know, there's still the work. The work is still there. It's still all the documents are still there. So
you can just get into it. Well, I mean, this is the thing. I fail. You know, when you've had one child and you're like, I'm not going to make those mistakes again. I'm going to get this baby to sleep. I'm going to find out. So I'm reading the book.
I'm not going to make those mistakes again. I'm going to wear a condom.
My dad just bought us the book for Christmas, and Addie read like the first 10 pages. She's like, oh, it's really interesting. I'm like, oh, is it? She's like, yeah, learning about this 5S stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
I'm listening to it on Audible on double speed because I'm like, I don't want to give enough of my time to this book.
Right. So anyway,
white noise. I'm just saying, you could go into business. You could record angry Scottish men.
I think
and
it's more.
Like, I would rather
it
listen to an
I don't think
Scottish
it calms
man.
Them. I think it's just more scared.
Well, it distracts them. It was more
it
like it was like a what's the word for it? An intervention, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of like heartburn, and then there's like a Scottish angry man in the back.
Oh, you
like,
bastard!
Oh, this is fascinating. Never mind the heartburn.
I think if it was also a story, Paul would have got involved, maybe.
Do you think so? I don't think he would have done.
Because it would have been more...
Think about
more,
it, Amber.
There's much more funnies to be had. But it takes longer to make up like what he'd have got involved and said.
Yeah. No,
so
he didn't get involved. I think the story, the fact we don't know who the Scottish person was, what the problem was, what this... There's a lot of mystery for me, that means it's
real.
True.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes it real.
Because people don't write stories
story,
that don't mean anything.
He would have got involved because then it would have been, there's a lot of opportunity for funnies.
There's a sort of a bleak nihilistic sort of undertone to the story where it's like just some random like Scottish drunk guy with a girl who's on a stretcher with no shoes on. It's like, what is this weird sort of post-apocalyptic picture that you're painting? I think it's true. Otherwise, it would, you know, normally people's made-up stories are a bit more A, B, C, this happened, then this happened, and this happened. And,
if he was making it up, I think he'd want to be a bit more noble and help.
He'd step in and say, don't worry, everyone, I'll fix this.
He helped, but in this story, he was like already tired at the bloody hospital, been there for hours. He's just like, fuck you. You can sort out your own problems, random Scottish man.
That's why he didn't get involved as well, because he's there with Addie and Louise and, he's trying to look after the child.
He just wanted to go home.
Yeah.
So, and also the Scottish man, he looked really hard to try and make that quite an interesting story, because it was really the Scottish man didn't cure his child
but
in any
way. Paul does like to do that thing where he goes, "Oi, you!" Right? He does it in his show. He used to. So maybe he just came up with this whole thing just so he had an excuse to go, "Oi, you!" on the podcast.
Nah.
Can you do it for us? What's that thing in, from your...
From my first show.
You don't have to do the whole bit unless you want to.
No, it's just, it was just in a queue where a Scottish guy pulled up an English guy for jumping in the queue. It's, "Oh, you bastard! Are you just going to jump in line there like a fucking prick?"
Right.
There you
See,
go.
He loves doing that.
So do you. You couldn't resist.
No, it's fun,
Everyone
isn't it?
Everyone does.
"Oh,
See you, you bastard!"
Do you, I on Facebook, I follow BBC Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the accents.
Well, I have BBC Sounds, the app on my phone, which is basically BBC Radio's app now. And you can go through all the different local radio stations and stuff. I love listening to all the different regional radio.
It's true.
Why, man, welcome to BBC Newcastle. And more horrible stereotypes of people from
Do you know, I was looking
London.
At Ant and Dec just the other day, probably in the Daily Mail, sorry. And Ant or Dec, I still don't know which one's which, has had a haircut similar to when he was younger. And I was thinking, and he's settling with his wife, his ex-wife, for a £31 million divorce thing.
Fuck.
And I thought, could they have imagined when they were in Biker Grove all those years ago?
Settling, paying somebody £31 million.
They are worth a fortune.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ant and Dec are...
have you never done an episode on Ant and Dec?
Nope, I must. Ant and Dec are...
National treasures,
television presenters. They started out their career on a popular soap opera for children, which was called Grange...
Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
The soap opera was called Grange Hill. No, it was called Biker Grove.
Biker Grove.
It was set in on Tyneside, where people speak like that, man. You know, way I man, spooky. And all that stuff. And then they became pop stars and then they became TV presenters. But they're from Newcastle.
Yeah.
So they've got that sort of Geordie accent.
Like yeah, I think they were the first ones on British TV that had that strong of a regional accent that became popular.
Yeah, Jimmy Nail.
Well, that became presenters. Like they weren't comedians.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like... They were presenting a lot of stuff.
And everyone loved them and they were adorable and stuff
Still
like that.
Love
and
them.
Now they've got all the usual problems that come along with being famous and in Britain, which is the press hound them and make their lives difficult and Okay, but is Paul's story true?
Yes, I think so.
I think it's true too.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because we've got to get this right.
I'm prepared to either win or lose spectacularly. I'm going to say true.
Well, you're not winning. It would just be a draw.
Draw. Yeah. Okay.
We've got to stop Paul. That's what we've got to do.
That's
here.
All I want in life.
Okay. Okay. So Paul, we think that it is a true story.
Both going with true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both going with true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yay! We stopped Paul in his tracks. So it's 2 points for everyone. 2-2-2. It's a draw. And you know what that means, listeners? We're going to have a rematch.
Yes.
But we can't do it now.
You both told true stories. It's easier to tell a true story.
Generally or for
Yeah,
us?
It is. Well, I mean, because when you started being like, what I should have done at that stage.
When?
during that telling of that story,
yeah.
I should have gone into the, like, yeah, I did come in and I talked to the Scottish guy.
Oh, to make it a lie.
To make it sound like, to make the detail sound a bit more sketchy, to be like, oh, hold on. Hold on, Paul, you jumped into a conversation. No, you didn't.
So that would have been a lie then, though. If you'd said that, that would have been a lie. If you make any part of your story is not true, the story is a lie.
But then you would have maybe thought, you
those
know,
are the rules.
I see what you mean,
those
yeah.
are the rules.
It's got to be a true story. The thing is, it's easier to tell the truth because it feels better. It's hard to lie.
Yeah.
You know, people don't like lying. And then, of course, you've got all the facts. And anything you don't know is fine because it's still true.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was a chance that you'd tell a true story because you've got to make up a lie.
Yeah.
It takes
that's
longer.
The other thing,
and
yeah.
we knew that Paul was at a disadvantage because he had not thought of this.
So he just came up with something that was true.
It shows how uncreative I am.
No, it's hard to come up with these. I mean, I always tell true stories in this game. Have you not noticed?
I don't know. Do you always tell true stories?
Yeah, pretty much every single story I've told in this game that I can remember has been true, hasn't it?
I don't know.
And there was a whole thing where you were saying like that I'm incapable of lying. There was a whole meme where you were like,
you never lie.
Luke can't lie,
yeah,
so it's true. But then the one time I flipped the script and I lied and you thought it was true. I can't remember what they all were.
No, I can't remember.
It was like...
Paul is good at lying.
Paul is.
Paul is good at lying. Like
if I've got the time to come up with a bullshit story, I can figure out the details. But
I had I met Dave Grohl at a Buddhist temple
in Japan. That was
in
true.
Japan,
right?
I had I hit a teacher on the back of the head when I was in secondary school, which was true. I had what was the other one? I told a joke in class, and one of my students left the country the next day. Do you remember that?
No,
you don't remember that, do you? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
That was also true.
Maybe it's just your life is full of humorous anecdotes.
Yeah.
I don't know. So can I just ask you a couple of questions from the comments section before we finish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, have we got time?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just very quickly. So this is from 8 months ago. The last time time you were on the podcast, the two of you, which was an episode called Sleep with Amber and Paul.
Sleep with Amber and Paul.
Which I think no one got the joke, of course. Sleep with Amber and Paul. We talked about sleep.
Yeah.
But I remember. Like, yeah,
yes,
we did.
We did. 8 months ago, we talked about sleep in my flat. God. It's been an intense time, Paul.
He can't remember what sleep is.
Surprised he can't remember. Anyway.
I'd understood if we'd have talked about that after I had a baby, but I don't remember talking about it before. Anyway.
So just some comments. Questions. Jackson Franco, 8 months ago, wrote, I love listening to the trio, Luke, Amber and Paul. The pod pals, the tangential trio. This episode is the funniest so far, IMHO, which means?
In my honest opinion.
It's in my humble opinion.
Oh, is it? Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I was at the gym.
Okay, boomer.
Shut up. Get out of town with that. Nah, I'm not even offended that he said that. I just hate these boomer millennials.
You're not a boomer.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I was at the gym and couldn't help laughing out loud and getting some glances. KKKKK. What does KKKK?
It's laughing in another language.
Right.
I'm trying to think like
in which country do they laugh like that?
In Russia. I don't know.
In the Spanish.
What's his name?
Jackson Franco.
Maybe
so the Spanish usually go ja 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 ja.
Yeah, but it's ha 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 ha. Because right. J, you pronounce J as a in Spanish. Yeah.
But for us, it's just ja 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 ja. It's like they're listening to dub reggae all the time. Yeah. Ja 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 ja.
You know. Ja ja Binks.
Yeah. So I couldn't help laughing, especially when Luke does the Arnold Schwarzenegger voice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember that.
Nor do I.
No, I said you don't remember that. That's not how you respond to you don't remember. You don't remember that, nor do I. Huh? Anyway.
All right, calm it down. I'm fucking
lost.
Hell.
No, lost. No. We all like the
all right, teacher Luke.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
All right, teacher Luke, calm it down.
I'm sorry. Just trying to be funny. Thanks a lot to you three for bringing laughter to my life.
Oh, that's nice.
What's the question?
There's no question.
It's just comments.
Just comments.
You said, can we answer some questions?
There are questions. There are some. For example, Kat wrote this, because we're talking about sleep. Do you guys grind your teeth in your sleep?
I don't know, because I'm sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Amber?
No.
All All right.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I used to, you know. I used to grind my teeth. I used to have dreams that I was grinding my teeth. It was horrible. I remember having one nightmare in particular where I was talking to Bono from U2.
Yeah.
That would make you grind your teeth.
As you do. And I was like, grinding my teeth while talking to him. And then all my teeth fell out and fell on the floor.
Yeah, I have many dreams where my teeth fall out on the floor.
Yeah.
I think it means something.
Or just fall out. It's supposed to mean that you're going to be rich or something.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was fear of aging.
Apparently.
Fear of aging. You're going to be rich. Okay.
Anyway, all right then.
No.
Actually, Kat left more questions about dreaming, but we're going to have to leave that one for another time. Jason Zhu, spelled Jason X-U.
Jason Zhu,
that's how you pronounce that, isn't
I think so.
I think so. Thanks for this amazing episode, and I would just like to get the explanation about the joke at the end, about the Lion King.
I thought it was going to be the Russian joke.
I couldn't get it.
The Lion King?
Do you remember the Lion King joke?
No, of course not. This is the joke
that I thought caused that student to leave the country because I told it to him. And it was basically, I love having lions. I have a lion every weekend. I'm the Lion King.
Oh, God.
It's because it's not a joke.
Fuck off. It is a joke.
It's a joke. It's a... What
it is a
it?
Joke. Lion. Lion. I'm the Lion King.
Yeah, but
I'm
you're the Lion King.
Yeah, it's not a great joke, but it is a joke.
No, but it's what it is, right? And I don't know why this
is. Basically the Russian joke.
It's basically the Russian joke. It's a play on word joke in British English that... Because Americans don't really
it's
make...
It's in English.
Yeah, but Americans...
They say lion?
Yeah, I know.
A lion.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
yeah,
but Americans don't make jokes like that. It's a very it's a very English thing to do, a jokes like that, and we find it funny in an ironic way, in the sense that we're like, oh, that's such a shit joke that it's funny.
Yes, exactly.
But the thing is, no one I ever speak like, no one that's not English gets that, not even Americans, and that's the thing. So it's,
they need to sort their shit out, Paul. That's the problem.
I don't know what it is. I feel bad because there's a couple of times I've had different jokes like that, similar to the Russian joke, where you're just like, oh, it's just not, you know, it's like, what did I say earlier on? Ecstatic. You know, like that would be a similar sort of joke, like the dryer. Are you ecstatic?
It's all right. Look, they're just shitty dad jokes, and it's just I just enjoy terrible dad jokes.
But not understanding them, what interests me is, do they not understand the humor behind the shit play on words, or do they just not understand the play on words?
They take it seriously. They take it on face value. It's both. They don't understand the play on words, and then they don't understand the fact that I'm just enjoying a kind of a terrible joke. Richard, let us know
in the comments.
Richard.
Please. Isn't Richard Jason? Where did I get Richard from? I don't know. Jason.
Interesting. His name is Jason Zhu, and he's written a comment about a lion. Just thought I'd mention it.
But yeah, I think it'd be more specific.
Zoo. Jason Zoo
oh,
Amber.
Sorry.
Yeah, there we go. But it interests me, this thing of like people not understanding the Russian joke.
Yeah.
What are they not understanding? Are they not understanding
they
why it's funny, or are they not understanding that they sound the same?
They're not understanding that they sound the same.
I think because
there's that one comment from someone saying, I think the problem here is that for Russian people, the words Russian and rushing sound the same. This is the problem. It's like, that's not the problem. That's the joke. See, that's we're approaching this from the wrong position. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That is very much the joke. Yes, I think...
So the joke, Jason, is that lion, the animal called a lion from the Lion King.
Lion. Which is actually pronounced lion.
It's pronounced lion.
Yeah.
Sounds very similar to the word lie in, which means to sleep in and to not wake up in the morning. So if you're having a lie in, it means that you're sleeping in.
Yeah.
So lie in and lion sound the same. So when you say I'm the Lion King, I'm the Lion King.
I'm the king of lions.
Half of it
makes sense. Obviously, I'm the Lion King, meaning I'm the king of all the lions, doesn't make sense. But, you know, never mind.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. One more comment.
Okay.
The name of this episode was Sleep with Amber on my podcast app, so I hoped it was a sleep meditation guide by Amber.
Oh.
I even chose an evening to go to sleep with it. So again, another person who didn't get the joke.
Well, someone else said to me, oh, I like listening to your podcast. I'd put it on to go to sleep. Yeah. And I thought, do you like listening to it? Maybe I should branch out into like... Because you know you have all those apps where people are just telling you a story.
I get the thing.
You're walking down the street.
Yeah.
Look around. And they're designed to just make you fall asleep.
Yeah. Well, you did a whole episode.
I did a guided... Design a Fake, if that is your real name. I did an episode, which is a guided sleep meditation with a few...
I don't know. Jokes. I could fall asleep because I'm sure you couldn't resist. You couldn't resist.
Of course I can't. I couldn't resist.
Couldn't resist making some jokes.
Yeah, there's loads of
And the whole point about those meditations, they're very boring.
Yeah, that's the idea. So the meditation thing, I'm like talking you down into a meditative state.
And then a pun
and all that
pops
stuff,
up.
Lots of stupid jokes.
And then he goes with his Scottish voice, "Hey, you bastard! Good luck sleeping, asshole!"
And then we got all the way through to where they're definitely asleep, and then I start reading them grammar descriptions from Wikipedia about reduced relative clauses. And so that if my guided sleep meditation didn't work, this stuff about relative clauses is definitely going to make you fall asleep.
Yeah.
So there you go, listeners. That's the end. Amber, Paul, thank you so much for talking to everyone on the podcast.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's been lots of fun. We should do this again sometime.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we?
Where? When you say you got comments, right?
Website.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
But I always feel like, I don't know what's changed, but it feels like there's not very many comments anymore on the website.
There are still comments, but they're not as many as there were, well, when was it? 2-3 years ago? The comments section went completely bonkers.
Yeah. I would always enjoy, after the episode came out, I'd wait like a day and then see all the comments and read everyone's comments. And now when I do that, there's
fewer
maybe
comments.
5 or 6 comments.
I don't know what happened. I don't know I don't know what it was, why that happened.
YouTube? Facebook even? No?
Instagram? You don't really?
No, I put them on Facebook. I put them on Twitter. I put them on YouTube. They get comments on all those places. Yeah. But I don't know, really, basically, Paul. But anyway, we should do this again sometime. Very lovely to have you on the podcast. We've got to stop. Amber just did a clock mime.
I've got to go and pick up my stuff from
Don't forget,
school.
Amber studied mime at university for 2 years. That really came in handy. She did the mime gesture with her finger. So that means that it's time to wind this up, listeners. Okay, Amber, Paul, would you like to say goodbye to the people of the world?
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for having us, Luke. And we'll see you again.
We'll see you very
probably,
soon.
Probably when Amber's got another baby.
Yep.
Yep, all right then. Nice one. Cheers.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you go. That was the Lion Game again. What did you think? Did you manage to guess correctly? Or were you completely wrong? Leave your comments, questions and other things in the comments section. I'd love to get your responses. I think you heard Paul there. We did, didn't we? We talked about the comments section a little bit. He mentioned that he noticed that fewer comments had been arriving compared to maybe just a couple of years ago. And I think part of that is because I started to develop this sort of comment section community, the comment section crew, and they were doing loads and loads of talking. There's still quite a few people messaging each other every day, but there used to be a time when there was like loads of conversation going on in the comment section. A lot of those people shifted to like a Skype group, I think, and so that's where sort of a lot of the conversation went. But I still get regular comments on the website. The website is the best place to leave comments. And it's just great to receive comments on episodes, to read what the listeners are thinking, in some cases to reply and have little conversations and things like that. So it's, for me, it's a great addition to an episode when listeners start providing comments. And in the past, I've had comments, obviously with opinions and stuff like that about what's happened in the episode, but also comments with bits of English in there that people have noticed, like chunks of vocabulary and stuff that people have noticed that they're sort of listing. So it's always good to get in the comment section. Just leave your thoughts or maybe some stuff that you've learned from the episode. And it's just a good way to continue to build the community of listeners who can kind of communicate with each other and me on the website in the comments section. I don't really have that much to add here, except that so premium Lepsters will know that I've been uploading episodes of Premium number 20, which is a kind of grammar, in-depth grammar look at the use of articles. Those are those tricky little words that seem to be so simple, but in actual practice can be very difficult. And I've been kind of going through all the rules and attempting to summarize it in the most kind of clear way possible, and also using extracts from interviews with the Beatles. So we've been kind of using the English of the Beatles to learn about articles as well, and all the pronunciation drills and stuff. To get access to that and all of the other premium content, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium, and all the details should be there. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say now at the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to reading your comments, but for now it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.